Today is the 19th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back to the welcome back around the global campfire. It is an honor to be here with you today. Discombobulated as I may be, I guess I didn't realize. Maybe not. Maybe that was just momentary. I am grateful. I'm grateful to be here on this 19th day of August, and in awe of the community that we get to share as we journey through the scriptures together. And we're moving through some really just super intriguing territory right now, especially in the Old Testament, because we're moving through the book of Esther, which is just cinematic, just very, very dramatic. So we talked about it and began it yesterday and pretty well got the lay of the land. We will continue the story now because this person, Haman, he has a plot and he has power and permission to commit genocide and destroy every Jewish person in the Persian Empire. It's just that nobody understands that the queen of the empire is Jewish. Today, Esther, chapters 4 through 7. Now, when Mordecai became aware of all that had been done, he tore his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes. He went out into the city, crying out in a loud and bitter voice. But he went no farther than the king's gate, for no one was permitted to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Throughout each and every province where the king's edict and law were announced, there was considerable mourning among the Jews, along with fasting, weeping, and sorrow. Sackcloth and ashes were characteristic of many. When Esther's female attendants and her eunuchs came and informed her about Mordecai's behavior, the queen was overcome with anguish. Although she sent garments for Mordecai to put on so that he could remove his sackcloth, he would not accept them. So Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been placed at her service, and instructed him to find out the cause and reason for Mordecai's behavior. So Hathach went to Mordecai at the plaza of the city in front of the king's gates. Then Mordecai related to him everything that had happened to him, even the specific amount of money that Haman had offered to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to be destroyed. He also gave him a written copy of the law that had been disseminated in Susa for their destruction, so that he could show it to Esther and talk to her about it. He also gave instructions that she should go to the king to implore him and petition him on behalf of her people. So Hathach returned and related Mordecai's instruction to Esther. Then Esther replied to Hathach with instructions for Mordecai. All the servants of the king and the people of the king's provinces know that there is only one law applicable to any man or woman who comes uninvited to the king in the inner court. That person will be put to death unless the king extends to him the gold scepter, permitting him to be spared. Now, I have not been invited to come to the king for some 30 days. When Esther's reply was conveyed to Mordecai, he said to take back this answer to Esther. Don't imagine that because you are a part of the king's household, you will be the one Jew who will escape. If you keep quiet at this time, liberation and protection for the Jews will appear from another source, while you and your father's household perish. It may very well be that you have achieved royal status for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, as assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast on my behalf. Don't eat and don't drink for 3 days, night or day. My female attendants and I will also fast in the same way. Afterward, I will go to the king, even though it violates the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai set out to do everything that Esther had instructed him. It so happened that on the third day, Esther put on her royal attire and stood in the inner court of the palace, opposite the king's quarters. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the palace, opposite the entrance. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she met with his approval. The king extended to Esther the gold scepter that was in his hand, and Esther approached and touched the end of the scepter. The king said to her, "What is on your mind, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even as much as half the kingdom will be given to you." Esther replied, "If the king is so inclined, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for the king." The king replied, "Find Haman quickly so that we can do as Esther requests." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. While at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your request? It shall be given to you. What is your petition? Ask for as much as half the kingdom, and it shall be done." Esther responded, "My request and my petition is this. If I have found favor in the king's sight, and if the king is inclined to grant my request and approve my petition, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet that I will prepare for them. At that time, I will do as the king wishes." Now Haman went forth that day, pleased and very much encouraged. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and he did not rise or tremble in his presence, Haman was filled with rage toward Mordecai. But Haman restrained himself and went on to his home. He then sent for his friends to join him, along with his wife Zeresh. Haman then recounted to them his fabulous wealth, his many sons, and how the king had magnified him and exalted him over the king's other officials and servants. Haman said, "Furthermore, Queen Esther invited only me to accompany the king to the banquet that she prepared. And also tomorrow I am invited along with the king. Yet all this fails to satisfy me so long as I have to see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Haman's wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows 75 feet high built, and in the morning tell the king that Mordecai should be hanged on it. Then go with the king to the banquet contented." It seemed like a good idea to Haman, so he had the gallows built. Throughout that night, the king was unable to sleep, so he asked for the book containing the historical records to be brought. As the records were being read in the king's presence, it was found written that Mordecai had disclosed that Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the entrance, had plotted to assassinate King Ahasuerus. The king asked what great honor was bestowed on Mordecai because of this. The king's attendants who served him responded, "Not a thing was done for him." Then the king said, "Who is that in the courtyard?" Now Haman had come to the outer courtyard of the palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had constructed for him. The king's attendants said to him, "It is Haman who is standing in the courtyard." The king said, "Let him enter." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What should be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor?" Haman thought to himself, "Who is it that the king would want to honor more than me?" So Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king wishes to honor, Let them bring royal attire which the king himself has worn, and a horse on which the king himself has ridden, one bearing the royal insignia. Then let this clothing and this horse be given to one of the king's noble officials. Let him then clothe the man whom the king wishes to honor, and let him lead him about through the plaza of the city on the horse, calling before him, "So shall it be done to the man whom the king wishes to honor." The king then said to Haman, "Go quickly, take the clothing and the horse, just as you have described, and do as you just indicated to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Don't neglect a single thing of all that you have said." So Haman took the clothing and the horse, and he clothed Mordecai. He led him about on the horse throughout the plaza of the city, calling before him, "So shall it be done to the man whom the king wishes to honor." Then Mordecai again sat at the king's gate, while Haman hurried away to his home, mournful and with a veil over his head. Haman then related to his wife Zeresh and to all his friends everything that had happened to him. These wise men, along with his wife Zeresh, said to him, "If indeed this Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is Jewish, you will not prevail against him. No, you will surely fall before him." While they were still speaking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived. They quickly brought Haman to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman came to dine with Queen Esther. On the second day of the banquet of wine, the king asked Esther, "What is your request, Queen Esther?" "It shall be granted to you." "And what is your petition?" "Ask for up to half the kingdom, and it shall be done." Queen Esther replied, "If I have met with your approval, O king, and if the king is so inclined, grant me my life as my request, and my people as my petition. For we have been sold, both I and my people, to destruction and to slaughter and to annihilation. If we had simply been sold as male and female slaves, I would have remained silent, for such distress would not have been sufficient for troubling the king." Then King Ahasuerus responded to Queen Esther, "Who is this individual? Where is this person to be found who is presumptuous enough to act in this way?" Esther replied, "The oppressor and enemy is this evil Haman." Then Haman became terrified in the presence of the king and queen. Enraged, the king arose from the banquet of wine and withdrew to the palace garden. Meanwhile, Haman stood to beg Queen Esther for his life, for he realized that the king had now determined a catastrophic end for him. When the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet of wine, Haman was throwing himself down on the couch where Esther was lying. The king exclaimed, "Will he also attempt to rape the queen while I am still in the building?" As these words left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Indeed, there is the gallows that Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke out on the king's behalf. It stands near Haman's home and is 75 feet high." The king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. The king's rage then abated. First Corinthians 12, 1 through 26. With regard to spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were often led astray by speechless idols, however you were led. So I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different results, but the same God who produces all of them in every one. To each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. For one person is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and another the message of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, performance of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discernment of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. It is one and the same Spirit distributing as he decides to each person who produces all these things. For just as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so too is Christ. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not a single member, but many. If the foot says, since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. And if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I am not part of the body, it does not lose its membership in the body because of that. If the whole body were an eye, what part would do the hearing? If the whole were an ear, what part would exercise the sense of smell? But as a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as he decided. If they were all the same member, where would the body be? So now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor in turn can the head say to the foot, I do not need you. On the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker are essential, and those members we consider less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our unpresentable members are clothed with dignity. But our presentable members do not need this. Instead, God has blended together the body, giving greater honor to the lesser member, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have mutual concern for one another. If one member suffers, everyone suffers with it. If a member is honored, all rejoice with it. Psalm 36. For the music director, an oracle written by the Lord's servant David. An evil man is rebellious to the core. He does not fear God, for he is too proud to recognize and give up his sin. The words he speaks are sinful and deceitful. He does not care about doing what is wise and right. While he lies in bed, he plans ways to sin. He is committed to a sinful lifestyle. He does not reject what is evil. O Lord, your loyal love reaches to the sky, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your justice is like the highest mountains, your fairness like the deepest sea. You, Lord, preserve mankind and the animal kingdom. How precious is your loyal love, O God. The human race finds shelter under your wings. They are filled with food from your house, and you allow them to drink from the river of your delicacies. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Extend your loyal love to your faithful followers and vindicate the morally upright. Do not let the arrogant men overtake me, or let evil men make me homeless. I can see the evildoers. They have fallen. They have been knocked down and are unable to get up. Proverbs 21, 21 and 22. The one who pursues righteousness and love finds life, bounty, and honor. A wise man went up against the city of the mighty and brought down the stronghold in which they trust. Okay, Esther. Esther is amazing, right? It's incredibly dramatic. And so all of this drama and intrigue and twists and turns and tension is completely experienced in what we just read today. So Haman devises this plan to commit genocide and destroy the Jewish people throughout the entire Persian kingdom. And he got the signet ring of the king and got the king to make it law and drew up the announcement and sent it throughout the entire kingdom. Nobody, though, neither Haman nor the king, knows that the queen is a Jewess. And so this law is passed, instructing all of the enemies of the Jews to destroy them, kill them, pillage them. And this is all supposed to happen on a specific day. Like, this is a day of the darkest death imaginable if you're a Jew. And so as this law reaches all the far reaches of the different provinces of the Persian Empire, horror is everywhere, like desperation and grief beyond description flows from every corner of the kingdom. And so this is also in the capital of Susa, the citadel, and Mordecai, Esther's cousin who raised her, he's a Jew. He puts on sackcloth and ashes. He's in absolute emotional agony like the rest of the Jews that are in the capital. And so he ends up pleading with the queen to intervene on behalf of her people. But there's a problem. The queen hasn't been summoned into the king's presence. And if she goes into the king's presence without being invited, that could be the end of that plan, because she could lose her head. She could be executed on the spot. But Mordecai sends back an empowering message, a sobering one, a chilling one. Don't think, Esther, that just because you're in the palace, you're going to escape when the rest of the Jews are killed. If you keep quiet now, somehow God will deliver us, somehow. But not you. You won't be delivered. You'll die. Who knows? You might be the queen for just such a time as this. Whew, that's a lot. That's a lot of drama. And we watched it play out as Esther indeed did go before the king. And eventually Haman is exposed, but he is humbled before he is exposed. And he is exposed before he is executed. The problem is, this law cannot be revoked. And so even though Haman, the enemy of the Jews, is now dead, and it is clear that the queen is a Jewess, the Jews are still supposed to be exterminated on a specific day. So we'll see how that plays out as we reach the conclusion of Esther. Then we flip over into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, and Paul is answering questions that have been sent to him about different kinds of spiritual gifts. And he's explaining there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, plenty of different kinds. They all originate from the same source, though. Everything flows from the same spirits. God works in different ways, however he chooses to disperse these resources, these gifts and talents as into human beings to serve his kingdom. But it is God who's doing all of the work within all of us. And so Paul outlines the ways that God bestows these gifts. Wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, speaking in unknown languages, and the interpretation of those on different people. The gifts are there to be used to serve the greater whole. And he explains it in terms that we can all understand even to today. The human body. Right? So we are listening right now with our ears, and that is all kind of being processed through our brain and integrated into the emotions of our body, etc., etc., etc. It's not just one thing. Like we can say, this is my body, but our body are made up of a lot of systems and a lot of different parts to sustain those different systems. So a body isn't just a single thing. It has a lot of different parts. Paul's saying that's how it is in the body of Christ. Everybody together make up the body of Christ. Each part of the body is irreplaceable, just like the different parts of our own body. No part can say to any other part, I don't need you. I don't want you. That's completely not true. That is completely unsustainable. It takes everything working together to be a healthy body. And so when one part hurts, the rest hurts. Like if you stub your toe, if you smash your thumb, the whole body hurts. Right? Like all of the systems together are sending out the warning systems of pain, and everything is focused on the pain. If we could absorb what Paul is saying as a reality, we'd find that all actually gives us surprising freedom to be ourselves. We are an irreplaceable part. We don't have to compare whatever it is that we are to anybody else's gifts or their perceived status in the kingdom. We're exactly who we were created to be, and that's what we're supposed to be. It's that when we compare ourselves to others, that's when we're like what Paul was saying. Because I'm an ear, but because I'm not an eye, I don't want to be a part of this body. I'm a foot because I'm not a hand, though. I'm not really valuable. I'm not a part of this body. I want to be out. That's silly. It wouldn't work in any body. Every part is needed to support every other part. We're supposed to be ourselves. And we're not supposed to be wishing that we were living somebody else's life. And so maybe we can live into that today. Give that some thought. Especially every time today that you catch yourself comparing. Stop. And remember that you are irreplaceable. Right where you are. Every time you feel this twitch of envy and jealousy, because that is evil. That is a subtle desire to take what is not yours and assume what you have not been given. And that is evil. And we can envy all kinds of things, but that ultimately has its root in hatred. And it is willing to do damage to somebody because we don't have what they have. That kind of comparison is evil. We gotta stop. When we catch ourselves and remember, we are where we are and we have the ability and freedom to go in any direction that God might allow us. But we're uniquely gifted and our life is needed as it is. Because there is only one spirit sustaining and there is only one source of all of life and every gift. Every bit of it matters. All of us matter. Everything matters. As so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that because we try to get identity through evil means. Of comparison, envy, jealousy, which leads us to taking, stealing what is not ours and giving away what is not ours to give of ourselves, all to find a different sense of identity than the one we have currently. By every dishonest means, we will try to skip the rungs of the ladder and take and take and take, and it is evil. And so, Holy Spirit, may we just take a deep breath and look around us and begin with the fact that every breath is a gift. That we are even having thoughts at all and our conscious is a gift. And begin very simply to appreciate everything that we do have. And that will also force us to understand that we have navigated ourselves through evil means into all kinds of places we do not belong, in situations that we find ourselves in. And so we want to jump ourselves out of this situation as if we didn't navigate into it ourselves and destroy things ourselves. We must walk forward by honest means so that we can become ourselves as we were intended to be. So, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Hard as it will be, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. App store or website. Get connected. Stay connected. Be connected as we continue our journey through our 20th year together. Every day is a bit of a celebration. I mean, there's been days, well, most every day we're paying attention to that this is our 20th year because every day is a 20th. This is the 20th, August 19th. Man, that amazes me. I'm just, Jill and I are creative people. We are artists. We were artists. Somehow in our lives, we were able to make a living being professional creatives in the music industry, which is like such a broken-hearted field of dreams. Somehow, we were able to do that. But it's not like a very linear, like creative life is life of looking for inspiration wherever you can find it. And it's not like you lock in and do this every single day for 20 years. We're not that kind of people. We have become that kind of people in over 20 years. I think we still think of ourselves as like, we're not that kind of people. But then we look at what we do and we are like, I guess we are that kind of people. We have locked in and maintained and haven't missed and been consistent. And that is remarkable that it could happen. So it is our 20th year celebration. We're celebrating in a number of ways. I talked yesterday about the song Blessed Be the Name, because one of the ways we are revealing ourselves in this 20th year in ways that we haven't in the past is through our music, because this is who we were. And then we became this other thing. And we've had to kind of reclaim some of that. But to do the work, we've had to actually really, really dig deep about the profound changes that happened when we migrated away from what we were into full-time ministry, something that, especially me, I grew up in a pastor's home. I was never gonna do this. Never gonna be this in my life. Never going to be in ministry. Largely because I've seen what Christians can do to each other and what Christians are willing to do to their leaders. And we have certainly weathered those storms. And yet, Daily Audio Bible began, and it was an undeniable calling to do this. To do this differently, to do this a different way, but to do this nevertheless. And so we have, and so we've just been releasing some songs. Jill's song, I Found Grace, was the first one. We talked about some of our story with that one. That's available everywhere. Ezekiel sang a song, When the Bow Breaks. Our son, who's now 13, first ever time he sang. We released that. He does Daily Eddie Bible Kids. Then I released myself singing a song called Love Will Not Care, a deeply personal song. That's available everywhere. And then just a couple of days ago, on Friday, we released our first ever, mine and Jill, our first ever duet. The first time we've been on so many projects together, but the first time we ever sang together on a song. It's called Blessed Be the Name. It is straight out of the book of Job. And we shared quite a bit about that earlier in the month, because we are about to go into Job. Here in the next couple of days, we're moving into Job. And so in advance of that, we wanted to release Blessed Be the Name, because it comes straight out of Job. Check that out. It's available everywhere. The other thing that's going on right now that's a part of our celebration of 20 years is the fact that we have had coffee. Wind Farm is the name of the brand of coffee that is the Daily Audio Bible. That comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. We have had this for most of the 20 years. We've been doing coffee, and we wanted it to have a 20th anniversary coffee. It's been such a part of the story. And so earlier in the year, we spent some months like getting a recipe, like kind of narrowing down what that might look like and what might make it unique. And we came up with Wind Farm Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve. And that has been the go-to for me since we got that recipe right. I just, man, when I open that bag, especially a fresh bag, but when I open that bag every morning to grind some beans, to make a cup of coffee, the aroma, it does something good. I don't know. It does something good to me. And that will always be associated for me, like in my mental mind, that aroma now will always kind of be associated with 20 years of nonstop 7-day-a-week ministry. And I'm grateful to have that association because it's a very, very fulfilling aroma. I hope you can smell it, but more than that, I hope you can drink it. Let's have a cup of coffee together. The Daily Audio Bible Wind Farm Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve is available. Grab yourself a bag. Grab yourself however many bags you want. You can find it in the Daily Audio Bible shop, either on the web or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you, especially now as we're moving through summertime. Thank you. Humbly, with deep, deep, deep gratefulness, we would not be here if we were not in this together. We wouldn't have this safe place that we can come around the global campfire and be together for a bit of our day, each and every day. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it, but there would be no point in doing it if it were just me standing here at the campfire. We are here in this together. I'm grateful, humbly. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible listeners, this is Ed in Western Wyoming. I'd just like to submit a prayer request for a young gentleman, 38-year-old. His name is Grant Gardner. He was hiking in Wyoming about 2 weeks ago. He summited one of the highest peaks in Wyoming, texted his wife, and he hasn't been heard from since. There's been a massive search for him here in Wyoming. He was very skilled in what he did and very skilled in hiking and survival. So there's still some hope that he could be out there. But please, I just submit that you think about this young gentleman in your prayers, his family, who desperately need to know what happened to him. And if he still is alive, may God, Father, bring him back to his family and reunite them. I just ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
The prayer wall. I knew it was there. I just didn't visit it very much. And then lately, I said, you know what? I need to join with dabbers more intensely. Has anyone noticed that at the end of our podcasts, we're getting more prayer requests on audio? Thank you, Brian. I love it. It intensifies my prayer time for the day. And if you go to the prayer wall, it does the same thing. I can almost see hearts that have been pressed under each prayer request that people have prayed for. I can see how people can read and reread and actually commit it to a prayer that maybe they have not thought of in their own mind, but from the Spirit of the living Lord. It is beautiful. It is powerful. It is true and righteous. Oh, thank you, God, for prayer. Thank you that we can talk to you individually and corporately. I pray for each person that needs more time of prayer with you, that not only will they listen to audio prayers and community prayers on Saturday, but they will go to the prayer wall and post their petitions and their praises unto you. You are so awesome, mighty God, and we praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, God bless y'all. Bye-bye. Taken with love from Louisiana.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Peaceful in Pennsylvania. Hey, I want to pray for baby, for the little boy named Archer. He is about 5 or 6 going into kindergarten, and they found that he has blood in his urine and thickening in the bladder wall. They're concerned about some kidney abnormalities or bladder abnormalities. They also want to rule out cancer. And the family, of course, is terribly upset and distressed. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. You are more than able to heal this little dude. Lord, you are more than able to touch him. And Lord, we're asking that you do so. Lord, that I did decree and declare there is no cancer here in the name of Jesus. There is no negative diagnosis in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that whatever infection is there has to go in the name of Jesus. Father, for the family, let them return to you. Let them not blame you for this. Let them return to you and begin to follow you and begin to have that relationship with you. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. This is Paul from Houston, and I just want to pray for my oldest daughter who's in college and away from here. I don't get to see her very often, but I'm just praying that God would heal her. She's been having a lot of pain, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, but it's in some of her ovary area, and we're just praying that God would just be with her, that she would just whatever this cysts or whatever that they're saying would go and would be flushed out, would go away, and we just ask that God would just heal her and take away the pain, and that she would be ready for college for the fall, or that all these things would come together and that she would be whole in Jesus' name. We just thank you, God, for her name's Hannah. We're just praying for her that she would just that she would be strong, and that all this would sort itself out, and that God would be lifted up. We'll just thank you, Daily Out of Body community, for all your prayers. And just it's hard when it's your oldest child, and your just thanking God that God is a God of healing, a God of deliverance, and God, and he's so powerful. And remember the woman that said, if I just touch the edge of his garment, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we just touch just the little bit of touch, Lord, that your power would be down. Thank you, Lord, that your power is there.
Hey, D.A.B., Christy from Ohio. My prayer request will get played, of course, after the fact, but I just feel like I'm over my head and just drowning with work responsibilities and, well, life responsibilities too, but mainly work. So I just asking for prayer and basically for a miracle at this point for all the tasks that I need to get done between today's like Wednesday in the wee hours of the morning, and so between now and Monday, you know, of course the date doesn't really matter because this will air after the fact, but just please pray when you get this. And I know I know your prayers will work retroactively, so thank you, guys.
This is Redeemed in Southern Illinois. I wanted to call an update on my prayer request to pray for our cousin, Caitlin Egan, that was in emergency room with going into labor early, just a couple weeks. But they did go ahead and take the baby C-section, and his name is Kaysen, with a K, Edmund. And he's a beautiful little boy. He is in the NICU. So continued prayers for him and Mama Caitlin as she recovers from the C-section. And thank you, Deb family. I love you. Bye-bye.